It's Wednesday, April the 4th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. This week is a bit of a different one, I think. For one, there's no intro music.
Why?
Because
how dare you?
I forgot to put it in. And you're probably thinking, how do I know that as I'm recording this preemptively? And the truth is, I know that the intro music is some royalty-free shit that Apple has on GarageBand.
It's true.
And I don't know where that file is specifically stored on my Mac. And because we're recording on my PC, I couldn't be bothered to go search for it. And you've decided to die.
I'm dying. Oh, my God.
What happened to you?
Oh, I breathed in air wrong, I think.
What the? What? Are you like an infant?
Woo.
You learning how to breathe?
I don't know. I took a breath and then like something hit the back of my throat and it was no bueno. Got a big piece of dust or something. I don't know what the hell happened there.
Okay. Well,
that was brutal.
I'm glad you're alive.
Ugh.
I'm glad you survived that ordeal.
Thank you.
Catastrophic ordeal.
Ooh.
All right. This week is, I don't know. I don't know how to open this one. It's just, it's another week, I think. I've been looking through this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been pretty slow.
Well, also, we kind of condensed it, right? Last week we were recording on Friday. This week we're recording on Wednesday. We haven't had a full 7. Let the news accumulate.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like there's nothing going on this week. Like,
yeah.
Nothing. Like, the only thing I know that's happening this week is Tiger and Bunny's coming back Friday.
Oh, is it?
On Netflix.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
Like season 2. I think. Okay. And I don't know if it's the whole thing, but it's coming back. So something to look forward to.
How much Pepsi?
I don't know if they have it.
No more Pepsi? Oh,
well,
man.
They never had Pepsi.
The Pepsi?
They had Pepsi Next.
Oh, they had Pepsi proper.
They had real sponsorship.
Damn.
Yeah, so... But I don't know if they renewed it, because I don't think... What's her name? She's the ice girl?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, she's... I don't know. Yeah, regardless, we do have a review this week. We watched Paramount Plus's original Halo series, Halo.
Original
series.
Ooh, damn.
Haro.
It's just the Kim Jong-un from Team America. Oh, Haro there.
Oh, I was thinking Haro.
Like what?
Like the Gundam.
Oh.
The ball.
Dirt. What a dork.
I'm wearing a Miku sweater.
Yeah.
I mean.
What a loser.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
You would if you could too.
He's right, I would. I've been looking at that Doki Doki Literature Club sweater, and I'm like, ah, damn, maybe I should buy that.
Yeah, so we watched the new Halo series. We watched the first two episodes. It started streaming on the 24th. As of now, it is April 6th, and I think the next episode technically is out. Or maybe tomorrow. I'm not too sure.
But we didn't watch it because it's too many episodes.
Yeah, so we watched the first two. Based on the video games, we all know Halo.
What?
If you don't know Halo,
it's not on that. Was it the Beyonce song, Halo? Or is that Rihanna?
No, that's Beyonce.
Okay.
Or is it? No, Rihanna's Diamonds.
Yeah, that song. Both those songs suck.
Oh, you love those songs. I remember when Diamonds came out, you couldn't stop.
Dude, no, you guys couldn't stop torturing me.
Stop singing
with
it.
Diamonds. That song's garbage.
I remember.
Oh, my
I was
God.
Like, dude, play some real music. You were just like, Diamonds, man.
Oh, my.
But yeah, so Halo's out. Cast is completely a bunch of unknowns.
Yeah, except for the one guy who we were like, why is he acting like Dave Chappelle?
Yeah. And it's for good reason that the cast is a bunch of unknowns, because they probably couldn't pay anybody a decent salary, considering how much money went into everything else in this show.
True. True.
And I guess that's where we'll start. Halo. So first of all, I will say right now, this is not at all in the same timeline or canon of the games.
So that was going to be my first question, which is this canon?
No.
All right.
It is in a separate timeline. It's called the Silver Timeline.
Ooh, Team Silver.
So that's the first thing you need to know about the series. If you're hoping just to see like a regurgitation of the video game story,
mm-hmm.
This is not
Not even close.
This is not it. And I think depending on how much you feel for the video game story will greatly dictate how you feel about the series.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
General setup is, we'll just say it takes place in the early phase of the Spartan program.
Yes.
Master Chief has a team who is controlled by the UNSC, and they are sent out as a special forces op to basically deal with the alien zone as the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of the setup. And to be fair, that's kind of the same setup as the games, right?
Yep.
There's a lot more... Yep. Details in there that differ, which I feel like maybe I won't go too heavy in the fun part of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll see how that kind of. But from there, there's a lot of shooting. There's a lot of fighting. If you
surprising want, amount of gore.
If you were like, man, I can't wait to see an energy sword. Don't you worry.
There's a lot.
Yeah, and they kind of like like almost from the get-go, they immediately let you know that this is not Game Halo, because slight spoilers, the Chief's helmet comes off almost immediately.
Yeah, episode one.
Yeah, and it's not like at the end of the episode as a big reveal. Like, he takes that shit off. So
before a commercial break.
Yeah, like. So it's that is part of the, I guess, story here. All the familiar characters you know are kind of there too. Dr. Halsey, Laura Halsey, creator of Cortana.
Mm-hmm.
They don't explicitly say, but I think they do show Cortana.
Well, yeah, they show her. It's not the same Cortana.
Yeah, but they don't like point to her, like the person thing, as Cortana, or if like, the unit, like they don't really implicitly.
I guess there's no character being like, that's Cortana.
No, they just
they
look, but they don't. Like, so it's hard to tell what exactly Cortana is. So
I think they hint at it. They don't even hint at it. I think they skirt so close to it that they might as well have just pointed.
You're right,
at it.
But like it, but they just leave enough there to be like, well, what well, if it's is not? It? Like, is it? Is this just a shell? Like,
mm-hmm. or a ghost?
Is
in
this
the
a completed
shell?
Version of Cortana? Like, we don't really. But yeah, that's more or less the breakdown to this series. Again, streaming on Paramount Plus, not something that we have here in Canada.
Nope.
I think I did some research, and I think it might actually be streaming on Amazon Prime if you wanted to.
In Canada.
Yeah. But with that, Anthony, what do you think of Halo?
This show's set design
and
costume design
and
everything surrounding it is fucking awesome.
The suits, I thought they were all CG.
Yeah.
Until he takes off the helmet and he's holding it. And you're like, oh, no, that's a costume.
Yeah. That's a practical-ass suit.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa.
There's a lot of stuff in here that is CG, that for sure, especially during that first episode action scene when he's like jumping over stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, that's a CG jump arc. I see that. But there is a lot of stuff in here that is practical design. That is straight up, we built a set to do this.
Yeah.
We built some nice armor, some nice guns, some nice sets, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Absolutely. And you know that like half the sets are all green screen.
Yeah.
But still, like the way they're able to blend it and
exactly.
It just
and like, certain things that you thought would have been green screen but are not.
Yeah.
Are it's just that's awesome. Like hats off to them. It looks sick.
Yeah, it does.
I guess where I get into stuff with the show that I don't really is that it is very heavy-handed in its commentary to, I guess, real life, I would
say. Like political
the politics
stuff? Yeah.
Portion. Where
fair enough, yeah.
The way they portray the UNSC is, from my memory of the Halo games, like the polar opposite of how they handle it.
Yeah, for sure.
Where it's,
I think so.
Yeah, where it feels like, it's like, see, government bad. Like, look at this, right? And it doesn't, at least in the two episodes, it hasn't gone any deeper than that. There's another person who gets into power in the second episode. And, like, they might as well have just put an SS patch on that guy's jacket. Because, like, and a German accent. Like, they might as well have just done that. Because the way they styled that guy is just, he was, like, a straight-up Nazi.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So the politics side for as much focus as they put on it is very bare bones, I guess. It is very, it feels like my first political intrigue script in certain ways. And I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing because it's Halo. Like, what's the storyline of Halo? Aliens come to planet, object, suit, gun.
Yeah. Right?
It's not the most complicated of, but I think just because I've experienced the game first, I have certain preconceptions and certain expectations of the Halo story.
Mm-hmm. Can I, before you move on from that, like, is that a big deal for you, do you think?
So the thing is with, like, the lore, I don't know if it's a big deal in terms of they're shitting on the Halo lore, right? Because I've only remember, like, two games out of all
of them. Okay, okay.
But it's more of what they've done to change it, I don't think is that great. Like, I don't think it's bad, necessarily, because there are certain parts of it that save it where they kind of make up for the weak points of the story.
Yeah.
So like the whole like political round table and doing all that stuff is kind of lame. But then when they get into the science is going far, we have a Cortana maybe, and the way they change up certain things in the lore is very interesting. So it kind of like balances itself out where like I don't give a shit about this one story, about this one B plot.
Yeah.
I do care about the C plot.
Yeah.
Right.
And you haven't played beyond Halo 2, right?
I've played Halo 3, but I do not remember anything from it.
Okay. No, I'm just going to say because like I would say tonally, this story closer to from 5.
Oh, okay.
In terms of what they're trying to do.
Okay.
So you probably won't like Halo 4 5.
Oh, God. All right. Well, maybe I'll get to that Master Chief collection once one day.
Yeah.
But I guess where was I going with that? It was talking about the politic and...
It's deviations how it's, you it's don't
deviations.
Like it.
Yeah, certain deviations I do not like. And then other deviations I think are very interesting. I just kind of wish they played more with him not taking off his helmet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you want it to be like more of an important thing?
Yeah, I wanted it to... They just kind of like threw it away, right? It's just unmasking the Master Chief... is it should be on par in my mind with like unmasking Batman.
That's an interesting side.
Yeah,
like I get it. Yeah,
and
it's so weird hearing you talk like this because like we watch all the Marvel movies and they definitely go out of their way to not be accurate to this material. You're not as, how do I put it, affected by it.
I think a lot of that has to do with Marvel doesn't even, because they have so many like multiverses of different stuff. They purposefully go out of their way to make different variations of everything.
Yeah,
right. So I guess I don't really feel that it's like if they're making their own thing, then this is like the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. Yeah, that's why when I said like this is not the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm surprised to hear you be so.
I still think Marvel does keep certain things intact.
Civil War was not at all.
Civil War was kind of a nightmare. But
like, Tom Holland's Spider-Man is not at all Spider-Man. Like they go out of their way to make like things are completely different.
Yeah, I guess it's just the precedent of them fucking around with their own stuff. Where Halo is Halo, right? Okay. There's no, I guess there's Halo books. I don't know if those are.
Yeah, I've never done the extended.
Yeah,
universe
the extended
stuff.
Universe, and I don't even know if that's canon to.
I don't know if it's like a Star Wars scenario. Yeah, I have no idea.
So, yeah, I guess it is probably just like certain preconceptions I have of what I expect the Halo story to be. And then the other one was, because we're dealing with the Covenant,
yeah,
I expected more importance aliens.
What are you talking about? Half the thing is about aliens.
But the most important alien is not an alien.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Right?
That we know of.
And I kind of wish they leaned more into the space science fiction portion instead of being like, here is a character that you can relate to because it looks right.
You wish they leaned more into that?
I wish they leaned more into the opposite of that. They just like maybe the Arbiter, the another chosen.
Oh, right? I see you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And they kept that antagonistic side alien, literally, instead of like and figuratively.
Yeah.
So there are a couple things I'm like disappointed about. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the show overall is like a big disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's very well made. The actors are very good.
Yeah.
And again, like the set design and costumes is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But there are a couple things that kind of push me towards like, it's okay, it's fine. Like if someone wanted to watch this, like, hey, you want to watch this show? I'd be like, yeah, sure. But I don't know if I'd go out of my way to finish it, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
In comparison to like Moon Knight from last week, where like I'm intrigued and I'm interested in like watching more of Moon Knight.
Yeah, yeah.
Where in this one, I'm like, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
What about you?
I think I have the opposite feeling, whereas like I could take or leave Moon Knight, but this I'm more interested in. Granted, like I've played all the Halo, and I would say the Halo narrative, like from the games, has never been something that's kept my interest. Like I don't care, because like to me, when I've played the Halo games, it's just been like a military like gore fest. Like you're literally just military dude. Go here, shoot this, do that. And for as much as they try to add things like the Arbiter in the second one, and they try to give you more of a human side to the Chief with the addition of Cortana, the end result is like good guy good, bad guy bad.
Yeah.
Right? Bad guy being alien, good guy being the UNSC. Like, it never goes beyond that. There are some things, like I said, with the background of the Spartan program and all those items that are eventually touched upon. But the core story of, like, Halo 1 through 3 is quite literally.
And like, isn't some of your favorite Halo games, like, Reach and
The ones ODST, that are definitely not.
And they kind of lean into the Spartan program background
more. Yeah, absolutely. And they have more of a, let's say, consequential result on humanity.
Because it's not the Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, in the games, the Chief can't die.
Or can.
Not that I know of, man. Apparently, Halo Infinite, he's a boss.
Dude, so he's got a grapple hook.
I know. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Like, geez. But, yeah. So, I was pleasantly surprised to see that, one, I do like how this is not the games. Like, they definitely are like, this is not it. But more than anything, it reminds me of the type of sci-fi show you would watch on CF.
In the second episode, they have last time on Halo.
Like
it, and my brain shot back in time to like watching TV as a kid.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh my God, am I watching Dragon Ball? Am I watching like the Space Channel?
Like, holy shit. Absolutely, like Space or Sci-Fi or whatever. Like, and like I really love that stuff. There's a lot more downtime. There's a lot more just like extended characters. Like, you're right, they don't give much attention to like a primary alien threat, or not the threat, but like more of a, I guess, just you're right, like true alien
antagonist.
Yeah, but instead they fill that with multiple different, I guess, human factions that I think are just as interesting, or like they're kind of like the details that make sci-fi shows really memorable and like when in the second episode when they go to that asteroid thing, like I could not help but feel like, oh, this 100% is hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. But for that reason, I almost want to say, if as a Halo series, like if I wanted Halo, it would be a huge disappointment to see that.
Yeah, I think for the television show, you're right. They do have to kind of stray away.
Yeah.
Because it's not, they're just not trying to get the Halo kids.
Right? Yeah, right. Like if Halo were a movie, I would expect it to just be like a Michael Bay fest.
That'd be almost. Pretty sick. That'd be pretty cool.
And that does sound awesome.
And they did do the Doom, the Rock sequence, the first person combat.
They
for do, a
and
bit.
They give him the HUD. They have all the same sound effects. He has a moment where like he waits for his shield to come
recharge,
back.
Yeah,
like it's all real cool stuff.
But I feel like you'll never see that again. I feel like that's first episode
and last episode. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But everything in between is like hard sci-fi, and and as is with every hard sci-fi, you're right. It's super political, and they do make the government, like in every sci-fi, the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And there'll be people within the government and outside the government who definitely ride the line, and I'm sure we'll meet a lot more. But it is overall, it's just it's hard to put to I guess put my finger on how I really feel about it, because on one hand, I have a strong bias towards sci-fi show like this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I were a Halo, like, I probably...
The second episode felt very Mass Effect.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right?
So I was just like, Vince loves this shit. I'm just sitting there just like, he's going to he's eating the shit up.
Absolutely. I was like, oh, fuck. I really... Like when he definitely, like, just became a human and less of a Spartan, I was way more into the show.
My name's John Spartan, and this is my favorite forklift on the Citadel.
Absolutely, yeah. And, like, I don't know. So I'm definitely, like, 100% on board, but not for the reasons that I think this show is trying. Right? Not. It's also, yeah, you're right. It's hard to get past how beautiful the show looks.
It looks awesome. I think if there's any reason you would watch this show is to marvel at, like, this set design, because it's... People don't do that anymore. It's all CG usually.
Yeah, I know. I almost feel bad because, like, spoilers, I had to download this shit.
What?
But I couldn't download, like, the high-end
4K. You mean download it off of Amazon Prime so you could watch it offline, baby.
Yeah, I couldn't get the high-end 4K, like, whatever version.
Mm-hmm.
Watching 1080p, and I know you probably didn't notice anything.
Did not.
But, like, everything was super low res.
Should have put that in 480i.
And it looked very blurry to my eye.
Was it in progressive scan?
Of course. What the hell are you talking about? What? You can't get interlaced anymore.
Dude, we got to go back to interlaced.
No, we don't. So yeah, there's like, I almost kind of want to like do this the legal way now, just because I know that for myself, it definitely, I would love to watch this at its peak. I will say the sound mixing is kind of, it's got that cinematic sound mixing where like you really got to turn up the volume. And maybe I should have turned down my bass, but every time he walks.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
And he just.
That suit's so heavy, dude.
I know. He just, like, you can't hear anybody talk when he's walking.
Yeah, there was a couple parts in the second episode where I was like, I have no idea what they said.
Yeah, because he's just like, doom, doom.
Yeah, or, like, the crowd noise and stuff. Like, that's made for, like, multiple channels.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
It's like, I only got the sound bar. Like, help me out here.
Yeah, so, like, it's definitely, I don't know, I might have to watch with, like, headphones.
That'd be good.
D-phones. Whatever. But, yeah, no, I gotta say, like, I like it a lot. I think it's promising.
Okay.
Love to see where it goes.
Nice.
So yeah, there you go. How about some picks?
Dude, do you love Saudi Arabia?
Honestly, no.
All right. Well, Saudi Arabia loves Metal Slug.
F1 doesn't like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, no, nobody likes Saudi Arabia right now. Yeah. except for SNK. So
my coworker doesn't like Saudi Arabia. She's back, from there.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Back in like, I think it was maybe 2020, 2019, the Mohammed bin Salam Foundation. They announced that they're going to try and get a stake in SNK after it went public. And their goal was to gain a 51% stake eventually in SNK.
Did they succeed?
Oh, baby. Did they ever? Okay. They now own a 96.18% stake in SNK. And for those of you who don't know who
that's impressive,
who Prince Mohammed bin Salam is, he is a man who in 2021 had an approved plan to capture and kill a journalist, or they found out in 2021. But in 2018, they killed a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi.
Why?
He knew some shit he wasn't supposed to know. I don't know what to tell you, dude. So this man is currently a 96% stakeholder in SNK.
Yeah.
And he's like, their backing is the reason why SNK is coming
alive
back with Metal Slug Tactics, with the new King of Fighters.
Damn.
With all this stuff. It's kind of a rough go at it, you know. I love SNK.
I was gonna say, does this affect your purchase of SNK products?
Dude, I'm on the edge here, dude. I'm on the edge.
Cause like, just as a related note, last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a race in Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
Jeddah, and people were like, why are we going here? This country is at war.
Yeah.
And like 5K away from the track, there was a bombing.
Nice.
And people were like, we should probably cancel this race.
We should probably get out of here.
And F1 said no.
Because they paid us a lot of money.
Because they paid us $90 million to be here.
That's correct.
Well, like, F1 didn't explicitly say that, but like, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everyone knew. Even the drivers were like, we probably shouldn't be here.
Yeah, and also, I bet like people in the FIA were like, if we leave, they'll kill me.
They'll kill you all.
Yeah, seriously.
So it is like, yeah, man, what a country.
It's both like it's like a monkey paw wish, really.
Absolutely.
It's, man, I want all right, what's my first wish on this monkey paw? I want SNK to be back in the mainstream. All right, it's owned by a murderous dictator. Fuck, what do I do? That's a very interesting piece of news, just because the MISC Foundation is very
MISC?
Yeah, Mohammed bin Salam Foundation. I don't know what the K is.
Oh, okay, sure.
I don't know what the K is for. But the MISC Foundation, they actually are trying to get into video game heavy. Like Saudi Arabia knows, because they already are, that video game a huge investment that can make their country a lot in their foundation.
All right.
So it'll be interesting to see, now that video games have surpassed movies and all that, in terms of revenue and sometimes profit, what all these investors and where all this money's going to come from. So I feel like this is the first showing of. The other one is just a quick one. I just found it as we were recording. Remedy actually struck a deal with Rockstar to remake Max Payne 1 and 2 for current gen. So back in 2002?
Yeah.
Back in 2002, Remedy sold the rights to Max Payne to Rockstar for 34 mil.
When did that first game come out? 2000?
I think so. I think it was like 2000, 2001.
Okay.
And then 2002, or Max Payne 2 came out, I believe, under Rockstar.
Yeah, that's what I remember. It came out under Rockstar.
Did you play Max Payne 3?
For like a second.
I like that game. That game's fun.
In a bad way.
It's not. I would say a game that is like Max Payne that's fun in a bad way. Do you remember Wet?
Yeah, I remember Wet.
That game is fun in a bad way, where they added like Tony Hawk combo systems to shooting people in the face.
I mean, it was all right.
It was pretty good.
It was all right. To me, there's no difference.
Yeah. That or what's the Bulletstorm? Remember Bulletstorm?
No, Bulletstorm was good.
Yeah, Bulletstorm was good.
That was a good game.
They had the tether, chuck people into giant Venus flytraps.
Yeah, like what you're actually talking about this bad is John Woo's Stranglehold.
Dude, what the fuck? What the fuck? John Woo's Stranglehold is a gem.
That is not a good game.
What are you talking about?
That's not a good game.
That's maybe the best launch game to ever come out for any system.
That's not a good game.
What are you talking? You could slide down railings.
That's not a good game.
Dude, when those guys are under the sign, you shoot the sign and it falls on. Doves come out when you do the slow-mo AOE. What are you talking about?
It's not a good game.
You're on drugs. That's not a good game. You're on crack
like
cocaine.
It's an acceptably good fun time. Is it a good game?
Absolutely.
No.
Dude. That's on my two playlist. I got that in the queue.
Why?
Because I want to replay it.
Why?
John Woo Stranglehold, dude.
Get out.
It's a good game.
Get out of here.
So yeah, they sold it back in 2002 for $34 million. They seem to have reached an agreement. And right now, I should say that this is in the planning phase. So this is like, we struck a deal. Here's the news. We literally have nothing. So don't expect it for like a couple more years. But Max Payne 1 and 2 coming to a PS5 or Xbox Series X near you.
That's what I like to hear.
There you go.
Good.
Those are my picks.
Back to bullet time. I don't have any big picks this week. I'll just give some announcements to you guys. Sign up for the Overwatch 2 beta.
Yeah.
Because that's coming in the month.
Okay.
Speaking of Overwatch, they have their anniversary remix event. They take all their, like, they have 6 really cool skins, and they just paint them all white.
Okay.
So if you wanted all white skins.
This is some Let Them Eat Cake shit. This is some bougie. If you're a real Overwatch
like
fan.
Okay, one of them is Witch Mercy.
Yeah.
But she's Frost Witch Mercy.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Damn.
So there you go. They had Black Cat Diva. Now they got White Cat Diva.
You got it. You got to have both. What about, is there like an all white Kiss the Cook Dad 76?
No, they have like an all white.
Oh, that sounds cool too.
Like they have an all white Reinhardt.
It'd be cool if they kept the black when he turns into a shadow. Like when he turns into a shadow, it's still black. And then he comes back.
Actually, I don't know. That'd be pretty sick. Yeah, and then they have their weekly events. They brought back some old ones that I couldn't get on PC because I got them on Play.
Okay.
So I'm trying to play Overwatch just this week so I can get Nano. I don't know if you remember that, but it's the one where she basically has a suit where it's sponsored by Nano Cola.
Oh, yeah. And she has a ponytail. She's like a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm trying to get that. That's the Overwatch one. And the other one is you have 1 day left to sign up for the Gundam Evolution open test, which starts on April 7th.
So I got to start that.
Sign up through Steam. I got my invite on the first day it opened.
God damn.
Because they know.
They knew. They knew. This guy used to review toys.
You know what I'm saying? Legends respect legends.
So privileged. God damn.
I just threw my weight around him.
Knew a guy who knew a guy.
Yeah, just Bandai Namco themselves.
Who's the guy who works at Mad Catz? Mark, whatever.
Yeah.
Messages him, called him up.
Actually, do you know who the community manager is for this game?
Who?
It's Vampy Bit Me.
Is it really?
She's the community manager for this game.
Damn.
Yeah, I just threw a message like, can you get me in? She's like, hell yeah.
Hey, what's
hell
up? Yeah. I know you're married, but give me
one. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Linda. First name basis. Hot damn. Hook a brother up. You already have a girlfriend, dude.
Anyways, so that's that. And then my other pick was just a follow-up from one of the April Fool's jokes. Twitter put out April Fool's, we're working on an edit button.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 days later, they're like, nah, we ain't lying.
So do you know why this happened?
I don't know, but I know that this happened like shortly after Elon Musk had decided to join Twitter.
He owns a controlling share.
Yes, he does.
In Twitter now.
Yes, he does.
That's crazy.
And an edit button is on the way. Holy moly.
What a time to be alive, dude.
And I know like the community is split on this because Elon Musk, you're either like you're for him or you're against him. There's nobody in the middle.
I love the memes.
Love the memes?
The memes coming out of this are so funny because they're making it political, obviously, as Twitter does.
Yeah.
And
how can you not?
One of them was like, Trump gets banned. And it's like the Wojak guy. He's be like, well, it's a private company and they can do what they want.
Yeah.
Get fucked, loser. And then it's like Elon Musk owns a controlling share. And it's just like,
yeah, it's something. But so, yeah, look forward to that. I am a heavy user of the Twitter platform.
Are you?
And I you know what? Like, we've gotten so far without having an edit button that when I do make mistakes, like, in the beginning, I used to delete my tweets and then redo them with the correct whatever. Now when I see that I fucked up, I'm like,
I just leave it. Yeah,
you go back and delete them?
Yeah. Dude, who am I? I'm not popular enough for people to be like, I saw it the first second he deleted it. There must be a hidden message in this spelling mistake.
So what makes you think you're popular enough for people to care about your mix?
I want, when people eventually do see it, to realize that I am a proper gentleman who uses the proper versions of there, and there.
Who cares? Okay. I want people to realize that I'm human.
No.
That I fuck up just like you do.
No. I know you.
And if I can make it, you can too.
Listen, I know you. That's the opposite of what you want.
What are you talking about?
You want everyone to fall under your under your foot while you step on them on the way to the top.
Do you see me driving an SUV? No. I drive low cars.
Exactly. So you can get around corners faster and cut people off more efficiently.
What are you talking about? The SUV drivers look down on you because they're privileged. I cannot afford an SUV. Too expensive.
Yeah.
You add like 4 inches to a car, I suddenly out of my price bracket.
I don't know why single people buy us. It's ridiculous. Come on.
I don't know.
Come
on. Okay. How about we take it to some emails? You want to take the first one?
I dare you. The first one. But which one?
The one that I wrote first in the emails.
Okay, fine. Jonesing for females.
Oh, that's Joseph hot. This Hazel. Sounds hot. This sounds hot.
Dude, this is not an 18 plus podcast. I don't know what kind of shit you're getting into here.
Someone sounds thirsty.
So Gundam Ariel is getting its first female focal character. And I thought that I'd ask what other franchises would benefit from a more female main character perspective.
Porn.
Which franchises have a stronger / more impactful female character than a male lead? And other, this doesn't count the interchangeable, boring, generic protagonist kun boy found in way too many anime. Those boys are just self-insert characters who viewers are supposed to replace themselves with and hardly count as characters in my eyes.
Okay.
So no porn allowed. No hentai. No hentai allowed. So let's start with the first one. What do you think? What's a franchise that could benefit from a more female-focused main character?
I was going to say Gundam, but I mean,
but they're doing it.
That's why this question came up.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, actually. Because, like, I want to say, you know what? So, yeah. James Bond.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah. I think it's time. I think Juliana Bond. No, fuck it. We'll just name her James. James Bond.
Jesse Bond.
Not Jesse. James.
Team Rocket.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I think 007 could do for a female perspective. And I know they put 007 as a female in the last one.
And that was enough, all right?
But, you know,
they've had their time.
She was pretty cool, but I want a full-blown movie or a full-blown series, Mel Bond. I think that would be very cool.
Of course, non-canon. But
no, it's the only canon.
Just fuck you.
She's got to be like...
They erased the history.
She's got to be the canon.
All right. I don't know if I have a specific series, but I do have a specific genre, which I feel could benefit from it, which is a fighting series or a combat focused. And when I say that, I mean like martial arts or a boxing, a fighting.
You want like Michelle Yeoh, like in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon as the
no
lead character?
No Wire Fu. I fucking hate Wire Fu.
No,
forget
Wire Fu, but I'm just saying, like, is that what you're saying?
So whenever I see something like Hajime no Ippo, All-rounder Meguru, like something that goes deep into real life fighting, right? Or real life combat. Yeah. It's always from the male perspective. And usually when they do it from a female perspective, especially in Japan, it's very like, oh my God, did I just judo through you? Ooh, woo. Like it's very cutesy. But I would really like a series that goes into the female side of fighting, specifically because of the differences between the genders, how you have to train, what things you have to look out for, what you're capable of doing while your male counterparts are not capable of doing.
I feel like we got this series, man.
What is it?
The Gates of Booty Lawn.
Oh, Gates of Booty Lawn. Cage. Oh, true, true, true. True. You know, you got me there.
Like, right. It doesn't get more, we're doing this because we're women.
Okay, but like also, I would like it to be a bit more realistic.
What? Are you saying Keijo is fake?
Can your ass home in and auto move you to places?
Am I a woman? I cannot answer this question.
Where's your girlfriend? Call up your girlfriend. No, we'll see. No. Babe, can your ass auto track people? Have you showed her Keijo yet?
No, I
haven't. Dude, come on.
I don't know if she'd get it, though.
It's a women's sport. Oh, dominated by women. Of course she has female empowerment, dude. What are you talking about?
I think, okay. The other thing I would want, and this is very specific, is I really want Zelda. But you play Zelda.
The Legend of Link.
I want The Legend of Zelda. No, you are actually Zelda.
That'd be pretty funny.
Like, I want that. Like, I don't want Link in the story at all.
You have to save Link.
No, I don't even want that. I want you just to be Zelda. You are the legendary warrior Zelda.
That'd be pretty cool.
Like, you don't pull out the Master Sword at the end of the game. You put it in.
You put it in? That's a little... Woo! You know, this is a little...
Female empowerment, you know?
I guess. Damn.
That's what I want. What's wrong?
So what you're telling me...
Ah.
Is that the Master Sword is an allegory intercourse. No, where the men don't want to commit, so they pull it out. They don't want to commit to the protection.
What is this?
Of the temple, you know? Because when you put it in and you leave it in, you're locked down. You know what I'm saying? And then, but when Link and he pulls it out to go on an adventure, he skirts his responsibilities.
Wow. Someone's going to clip this in the future, and you're going to get canceled. So.
What are you talking about? That's a perfect allegory for the fragile commitment of men.
Oh, get out of here.
Dude, what are you talking about?
No. He's just a boy with a sword.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? And listen, I want to take that sword out of as many pedestals as I can.
Wow. What the fuck?
That's how we're built. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
You really thought about this. You really thought about this, Vince. This is a good idea. Wow. You're going somewhere with this.
Going places.
You're going places.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, that's what I'd want. I really do want Zelda. The Adventure of Zelda. No, really, this is Zelda.
For real.
For real, for real.
Like, she's shooting light arrows
and
shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the second part of his question is, what franchises have a stronger, more impactful female character than the main male lead? I guess we could also extend this out to, like, what shows do you have that you know have a female lead that wouldn't be as impactful if it was.
I don't know.
My go-to is Lara Croft.
You think so?
I think Lara Croft brings a special something to the Indiana Jones style of adventure that doesn't happen with, like, Uncharted and doesn't happen with Indiana Jones.
Which Tomb Raider are you referring to?
Triangle titties, baby. Oh, no. No, the new ones. The new ones.
They put her
in uniquely horrific situations that only work because, and certain things she has to solve differently because she can't just punch a guy in the.
I mean, yeah, she has to be a creative killer if that's what you're getting.
Hell yeah, dude. When you hang that guy up with a bow and arrow.
I guess I could see that.
That's probably a minor difference.
Yeah, because, like, as much as I agree with your argument, I don't think that experience on its whole is better than, say, Uncharted.
Ooh, so you're a sexist.
Which is weird because, like, as a video game, like, just playing, I prefer to. But as a complete experience, I'd rather put it.
Uncharted is.
So it's tough for me to this one's hard for me to answer because I'm trying to think about series that have both male and female leads where they're equally as prominent. And
dude,
I'm trying
Darling
to
in the Franks.
No.
What are you talking about?
Like, because when I think female lead, I'm like, Kill la Kill. But then, like, there is no male lead.
Do you think that show would have worked as well in the same context if it was a male lead?
No, because I don't think males would be as worried about, like, it's, I don't think, like, because no one wants to see a dick. Like, you go around naked with your dick out, people be like, I'll put that away. But like, if a woman goes out naked?
With her dick out?
Oh, my God. She's not a woman.
Oh, you're going to jail. Well, you're going to Twitter jail, dude. What the fuck? Holy shit.
But okay, like, you know what I'm getting at, right? You see boobs. See boobs. Like, you're not going to be able to put those away. At least guys won't like that.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? Like, societally, you should probably put them away.
Yeah.
But also, put them away slowly. Like, give me.
Can you also massage them?
Give me a bit more time with it before you put
it. Mind if I take a picture? Like, come on.
Do you have your consent to snap a pic?
Yeah. See, like, I think that's a series where, like, it could have only been done with a woman.
Yeah.
Because of the general themes. But I don't know if that answers the question because that show again was built around a lady, so a guy obviously couldn't.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Like, would Gears of War be better if Marcus was a chick? Well, I don't know. I didn't play Gears 4, so I didn't.
Oh, wait. Was Gear 4 a female protagonist?
It's a 4 or 5.
I thought it was interchangeable in the latest one.
Oh,
where
was it?
Where they switch between two characters.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, maybe you're right. I didn't play them. Hmm. But I just remember she was on the cover.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to be like $9 and then I'll play Horde mode.
Actually, maybe it just might be on Game Pass.
It probably is on Game Pass.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I don't know if it would have made it better. Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. I think there's.
I do remember when I first saw the Power Rangers that were led by. When I was a kid, I was like, what?
Yeah, but you're also a kid. So you're like, girls? That's gross.
Yeah, why was I thinking like that? That's wrong.
No, it's not. I don't know if I can think of a series where the female lead stood out more so than the male. Usually, series are pretty good with that stuff, where when they have, like, the two polar opposite lead or either in gender or whatever, they make them both equally as important. I guess the one, again, I'd go back to is Darling in the Franks and memorability, right? Or maybe even you go to Nier Automata. Who the fuck is 9S? No one gives a shit. But 2B, baby. Ho-ho-ho.
Yeah, but like that story is different too, because 9S is clearly not as important.
2B is, I would say, yes, is the most important. But
like, I'm trying to find
9S that, yeah. And was it A2?
Yeah,
A2. Like they both they get their own sections of the game. They like without their narrative structure, like the story's not complete.
No, you're right. Stuff you're like right. That. I'm trying to find something where they're equally as important.
Trying to rack the brain
and see if there's one that does it better than like the closest I can think of is like Evangelion. I would argue. Yeah, Shinji is still the main.
And everyone hates Asuka. Absolute dog shit character.
Wow. Someone wants murdered.
Heard you're not going home tonight, baby.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Thanks for writing it.
All right. Let's move on to a question to chew on from Paul Miss Chewamus Prime.
We're just going to keep adding like stuff to the end of his name, make him sound more Roman.
Last week, Anthony mentioned his vampire game being one of the games of the year because of its great value. Does it make a difference if you're rating things for the show? Like the TNIB Awards versus in your own head.
You missed a sentence.
Oh, shit, I did.
Either consciously or subconsciously, how much does value factor into your rating of how good something is?
You're right. And does it make a difference for the show versus... Yeah. I probably shouldn't be reading this for a few.
Get your glasses on, too. What the fuck?
Yeah, but this is font is like 10.
All right. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
I think... that no matter what anybody says, value is important somewhat. All right? Value does...
Oh, you went against your own... I thought you were going to commit hard, but you didn't. You're like, value is important! ... somewhat.
Yeah. Value is important to an extent. People who fully commit that, like, value has no... whatever. Like, if you paid $60, that doesn't matter. If you paid $10, it doesn't... It totally does. It's something that you cannot... And so the thing that matters is... if I paid $60 and it was a dog shit experience, say like a most recent example is like a balance.
That's, you bought that?
I played it. I don't know if I bought it, but I played it. Nah. I know a guy who bought it.
I know a guy who knows a guy. Who
and
bought
I think, it. And I'm thinking I might buy one just to, because it's so bad. So like Balan's Wonderland is a $60 pile of dog dude. And that game probably gets dunked on way harder because it's $60.
Okay.
Right? But that doesn't really happen with, say, something that's amazing, right? So when you get an Uncharted 4 and you pay $60, $70 for an Uncharted 4, it's kind of what you would expect, right? But it's the opposite for cheap things. So if you buy a game that's a dollar and it's hot garbage, you're like, it's a dollar. And it kind of makes it mediocre out initially. But if you pay like $3 for a game called Vampire Survivors, which is now available on Steam and is constantly getting updates for free, I would say that would elevate it somewhat more positive scenario.
Interesting. I think you're right. I think you can't escape the argument of value. But I think the more critically you try to evaluate something, the less it comes.
Yes. I don't agree with people who say that value should never be a factor.
Yeah.
But it should be the least important factor.
Like, and it also, it depends too, just because I know like people like to put the hour argument against it. But I'll be real with you. Like, I have like 1,000 hours in over, and I paid for it twice.
Yeah.
Do you think I care about the price of the game at this point? Like, yeah. I don't think it'll come into the question.
How many loot boxes did you buy?
That's a different story. But like the box copy of $60, like that has no bearing on my opinion of the game anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And you could say, but Vince, like, do the quick math. That's like what?
Cents on the hour.
Exactly. But I would argue back with like, no, I think it's just gotten to the point now where the value is irrelevant. Like I've put in the hours and that's probably because of a wholly other reason that's far more valuable, the regular value. But when it comes to smaller items too, like $1, $3, $5 games, that one is tricky as well because it's like I pay for coffee, $1.50, right? And people like to use that argument, this game is cheaper than coffee.
Yep.
Do you enjoy this? And like, I guess from a hourly point of view, sure, it'll last me. But again, like, I don't know how much, I guess I'm trying to say it's all relative. Like,
yeah, of course.
If I throw away $1 at a game and it's shit, read about it. But if it's awesome, I'm also not going to be like, oh yeah, this is great. Like, it's worth the dollar. Because to me, again, that dollar is irrelevant.
There's, I think the same thing could be said about the hour argument of just 4 hours. Like, if that 4 hours is fucking sick, I don't give a shit. If I paid $60 for a 4 hour game and that four hour game blew my mind, sure, I'm totally on board with it. That's totally fine with me, mm-hmm. right? But you just start getting into like sketchy territory, because like the value, the hour does matter, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
It only becomes less and less valuable product.
Yeah, right? Like it definitely, you're right. It becomes more significant, almost, unfortunately, the worse a product is.
Yeah, that too.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if something is bad, you are absolutely going to go back to the value arc. But if something is really good, I don't think you're even going to care about
that. Yeah, and right? You'll probably make caveats to go out of your way to be like, I know in the past I said 4 hour game A wasn't worth your time and it was a ripoff to pay $60 for 4 hours. But 4 hour game B, hours, what a bargain.
Absolutely. Right? So yeah, I think it's definitely dependent on, or it's a case by case scenario. Now he's asking if this changes for things when you rank things on the show versus your own head. I would say yes, but only for the purpose of winning.
I will throw away my morals and subjectivity in order to win.
Yeah, in my head, it makes whatever. But if I need it to win on here, absolutely, I will use anything I can. Use
every trick in
absolutely.
The book.
You think I'm honest like that? No. Yeah.
Well,
shut up.
Video game expert of the year, all right? Honestly, when it comes down to like thinking about it more critically, like if I have to rank it in something or review it in my head or something like that, it does become less of an art. Again, unless it's egregiously bad, right? It's one of those things where, unfortunately, when you use those strategies, you use a short game, expensive price points, dog shit can only be used to amplify how shit the product is.
Yeah.
There's no upside to it, unfortunately. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, we're always out here looking for the better things to make your life more entertaining and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't want to say, unfortunately, just think of value as the entry ticket, because, like, in some ways it is, but in other ways, like, obviously it's more to it than that. Like, not everyone can afford everything, right?
Yeah,
if I say to you, like, oh, go play this game, it's awesome. When I say that with the, I guess,
play it now or unsub, bitch.
No, like with the expectation that like we all consider video games a relative hobby that we can all jump into.
Yeah, of course.
Like in my mind, it's never play this game if you afford it, poor person.
Yeah, play it at the detriment of your own financial stability.
Absolutely. So like I that's what I mean, mm-hmm. right? And I think that goes for anything we recommend on here. Like we're not. Unless we explicitly say, listen, you know, iRacing is only $400 a year.
Yeah, and if
y'all should play it, though, you know?
And if you unsub, you lose all your shit.
Listen, it's great.
Also, you need a $7,000 rig to start playing.
Guys, it's very easy to do. Hit me up. I'll give you the details.
I hate that shit on Twitter. Like, yeah, I think the recommendation stuff and what we do on the show, like you said, there are things that you should assume.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You should assume that where it's like, if you like these things, maybe check it out.
Yeah. And it will cost you money. But we are, you know, like, even when we go see a movie, right? Like, movies are like, I don't know, we'll say on the average it's $10. Like, if you're struggling to pay $10 to see a movie, then
don't see the movie.
Like, we're not holding a gun to your head and be like, this is the greatest value movie. Like,
Lord of the Rings extended it 4 hours for one movie.
God.
Thanks for the question. I think we both agree value does factor in to an extent.
To an extent. Not the biggest.
But to an extent.
Now ask me about value about Super Brand.
Terrible view. Absolutely.
The best.
Unless you're flipping that most value.
It depends what you're doing. Are you wearing or are you selling? Cool. Let's go into our weeks. So I'll kick it off because I only got one. I only had time to watch one item. I watched it last night because I got home, did some exercise, and then I was like, man, I'm tired. Go to sleep.
Okay.
Because it was only like 7. I want to sleep at 7. So I put on a movie. I put on The Adam Project. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds, the time travel movie with the kid.
Oh, yeah. He's like himself. He sees himself or whatever.
Yeah. I got to say this movie was, I think I would describe it as fun.
Mm. But what was the value of the movie?
Considering it was just there on Netflix with all the other content I can enjoy. Peak value.
Peak value. Okay. Peak
I would put it in the same vein of movies like Night at the Museum.
You just unsold me.
In that, like, it's clearly an all-ages film.
Yeah.
It's clearly an all-ages film. I think it's a very easy movie to follow. Like, the plot's not going to throw you off. Like, it is Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds, but also a fight.
He's been doing a lot of that lately.
The coolest thing about this movie, we all know Ryan Reynolds is known for his wit.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Man, wittiest. He's funny.
Yeah. And that extends into, so, slight spoilers, this younger version of himself. Like, the kid is equally as witty and stuff. But it is a detriment to the character. Like, and I don't mean it gets him in trouble. I mean, like...
Him less?
Yeah, because on an emotional level, he just comes off as such an asshole.
Because
he's this witty kid, and because of the scenario they're in, and because of some of the relationships he has, that wit is not comedic. It is just... It's almost, I don't want to say it's tragic, but it's definitely sad.
Okay.
That's the coolest thing about the movie. They have other cool things in the movie. Like, the dude has that lightsaber thing. He flies a time-traveling jet.
What's the Epoch? He drives the Epoch?
He drives the Epoch. They have a evil corporation. They have, you know, they do all these cool things. All right. But at the end of the day, it is a very simple movie.
Spy Kid.
Yeah. Like, it is definitely in that vein. Like, if I were 8, 9, 10, I would probably love this shit. As an adult, it was cool. I probably wouldn't really recommend it to somebody who's looking for a movie recommendation. But yeah, like if you want a fun family, this is probably, I'll probably go check out what he did after this.
The Red Notice?
No, the video game.
Oh, Free Guy.
Free Man. Yeah, Free Guy.
Okay.
I
didn't see any like fanfare around that game out.
I feel like that's how all these streaming.
Wasn't that supposed to come out in theaters, Free Guy?
I did. Okay. It came out last February. The Disney. And then he did Red Notice, and now he has this. Like, true. The dude has put out 3 movies. I mean, at this point, he just needs paychecks. Like, whatever.
Yeah. I don't even think he needs paycheck. He sold Aviation Gin for like a bajillion dollars.
Maybe he just needs some content so that when his kids see him.
Remember.
Yeah, or like, he wants content for his children. He can only be so many Deadpools, right?
Can't you?
So, yeah, The Adam Project. That was nothing else going on.
I had planned to play some games, new ones.
Where's this going?
And then I didn't.
Wow.
But I did start 2 new manga. Well, they're not new, but they're new to me. So I'm going to start with the first one. It's called Tenkaichi Nihon Saikyo Bugeisha Kiteisen.
Yeah, how do you recommend it?
I know, right? Just look up Tenkaichi.
No, you're going to get Dragon Ball.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, you will. Okay. Put in Tenkaichi Nihon into the search bar.
You're still going to get Dragon Ball.
No, I don't think. Like, I'm going to search this up right now. I don't think you're going to get that. Tenkaichi Nihon.
All
right.
What do we get?
I get the manga.
All right.
I get the manga.
All right.
So this, very, very simple. The year is 1600, right? 10 years have passed since Oda Nobunaga has unified the country. And Oda Nobunaga is going to die. And so he's like, I got to pass on Japan to somebody.
Okay.
Fighting tournament.
I see why you're watching or reading.
And so it's just the greatest warlords from Japanese history changed or augmented in certain ways to fit their own unique narrative. And it's literally just a tournament arc, but it's just the whole series. The whole series is very cool, very fun. And it's very interesting because I learned that the authors, Nakamaru Yosuke and Azuma Kyotaro, they actually don't have predetermined winners for their story.
Oh, is it ongoing?
So it's ongoing now. It started in January of last year. So, and I think it's monthly. So there's only like 15 chapters. But how they write it is that they actually discuss what character they think is cooler as they're writing it.
Oh, wait, like, are they in the story or?
No, they're not in the story. But so there was one of the chapters had like a notes from the author.
Oh.
And so everyone was like, everyone keeps saying that we have predetermined winner, right? And it's like, no, oh, that's the ninja lady.
I was like, I see why you're reading. Dude, this.
She takes drugs.
Oh, I know why.
She takes ancient Japanese drugs and gets huge muscles.
Yes.
She fights a blind samurai.
I see why you're into
it. It's pretty, that character's pretty cool, not gonna lie. Not
so
gonna
she's
lie.
She's Mai, and then she gets more buff.
And then she gets ripped. Hot damn.
Because when you search the show,
yeah,
this is the only character that comes up.
What did you
I just copied and pasted from the Google Doc what you wrote.
Oh, you did the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is literally just muscle boobs.
Yeah, true.
That's all I got.
That is the one. I will say she's a pretty cool character.
Oh, wow. Shut up.
But so I think the first battle was, who was it? It was, what's that guy? Miyamoto Musashi.
Oh.
Versus.
Hanzo.
Oh, Tadakatsu Honda. Yeah. Hattori Hanzo is in the show.
But is he just a blacksmith?
No, I think he's going to be a participant eventually.
Really?
Ito Sai is also in it, another famous. Ito Sai is like the second only in Japanese history. He's of undefeated records, where mm-hmm. I think Musashi was like 66-0 or something, and Ito Sai was like in the 30s or some mm-hmm. shit. But it's really fun. The fights are crazy unpredictable because everybody is getting injured like crazy left and right, and it's going to impact the future fights when they get up in the racket. They're in, and it actually is surprisingly gory in terms of like people get cleaved in half or like bisected. They don't shy away from grievous. So if you can't handle that, maybe don't read it. But I do recommend it. It is it's a very simple show. It is very fun. Tenkaichi, number one under heaven.
Okay.
And the other one is the polar opposite of Tenkaichi. This one is called Shonen no Abyss.
Okay.
Or Boy's Abyss. So it centers around boy.
Is this puberty? Is he trying to get laid?
He gets laid.
Oh, no.
Reiji Kurose, he is born in the Japanese countryside. And him and his friend, they always have these dreams of moving to the city because the town they live in, there's nothing there.
Oh, are they small town boys?
Small town boy and girl. His best friend's a girl. And the small town is just fucking with their heads. Like they are trying not. Basically, the story is about two people trying not to succumb to, realizing that there is nothing in life for them to strive towards because they will never make it out of this town. And so one day, the two friends, they're also a big fan of this idol group Acrylic that is in there. So one day Reiji is walking around town. He's going to go buy smokes for this guy he owes favor. And when he gets to the convenience store, one of his idols in that group that he loves is in the store, working in the store.
Oh.
And she's like, what the hell? Like, you're this person. She's like, yeah, I am. Like, don't tell anybody it's her. And all this stuff. And then because of their gloomy town, the girl, Nagi Aoi, she invites him to commit suicide together, commit a lover's suicide. So it turns out that Nagi doesn't have anything to, I guess you say, live for. And Reiji doesn't have anything to die for. And so when they meet each other, it kind of fucks up their lives in a certain way. Nagi will literally do anything anybody says because she has no will. Where Reiji will help somebody do whatever. I guess he also has no will of his own in a certain way, but it's like an op.
Yeah.
And the whole story is extremely depressing because as it goes on, you learn that this small town is just full of scumbags who are also just tired of their lot in life and how they never got to make city and are stuck in the countryside. They have to deal with their shitty life in small town and they take it out on the youth of the town, the kids, adults manipulating children. It gets very, very dark. It is an intriguing read, that is for sure, from the get-go. But I would be wary of recommending this. You are in a dark place, maybe, just because they make the concept of suicide very appealing.
Okay.
Yeah. they make the idea of killing yourself as an actual solution, and they justify it very well. Because of all the other shit that happened, so it is a tragedy, that is for sure. It is extremely dark and sad, but it is interesting to say the least. I caught up with it like 80 something chapters. I would love to say more about the story, but it fall into like pretty major spoiler territory. But it's being serialized in Young Jump. It's a seinen manga. So
yeah. Weird how Young Jump is the seinen.
Yeah, it's seinen. Yeah, but Shonen Jump.
That's kind of weird.
So yeah, I think it's pretty good. The art's pretty cool. But again, it's not your typical Shonen Jump story or seinen Jump. It is bleak, dude. It is very, very bleak. Nobody has plot armor. Like everybody can be manipulated. Everybody can have something happen. Certain characters are just like the definition of disgusting.
Are there characters in this show who like the small town stuff and despise that goal of to go to Tokyo?
I think so, but how it's the lens you're seeing the story through is through the story of the children. Yeah. So you're seeing it through the high school. So those people who do like the small town are like maybe their parents, right? And everything they do to keep their kids in the town, you see as a reader as like an affront because you're stunting the possibilities of
so you're saying every high school or every kid wants to leave.
The three kids in the main story, they don't focus on like everyone around town, but it's those three kids, the people who are kind of like within hand's reach of them, like one degree of separation. Yeah. And then a couple people who come in to like fuck up the story, like Nagi or like this other character who's an off like that. To make it, you know, more spicy.
Okay, I think I probably
would. Yeah?
Yeah, like I like depressing stuff, but I like it when it's played. Like I like, like for me, like I guess depression or tragic or hopelessness is only at its best when they give you.
So they do, but it's later on in the story, and it's only after you realized who certain characters are, what they're doing, and what their motivations behind what they're doing are.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
But, like, there's no other kids, like, their age. No. That they, like, yeah, because if it's only coming from, like you said, like, authority figures, like, that means nothing
the
to
three,
me.
The three kids who are the main focus of the story, they are just in the absolute shittiest situation you could be in, and every adult's lives are hell-bound, not letting them live the life.
Yeah, cool.
So, Boy's Abyss.
Boy's Abyss.
And yeah, so hopefully next week I'll actually play some.
You don't have to.
I want to.
You don't have to.
I was thinking about I got this one in the mail, After Party. It seems like a point-and-click adventure style game, more narratively driven, but you and your best friend die and go to hell, and then you find a loophole in the devil's contract, where it says that if you can outdrink the devil, you can go back. So you got
to
go.
Like you come back to life?
Yeah. Oh. So you don't. So you have to go to all these different rings of hell, outdrink those kids, and then go to Satan and outparty Satan, and then you can come back to life.
Wow.
Seems pretty cool.
That's definitely a setup.
Yeah. I mean. So hopefully I'll have that either played or finished.
Cool.
By next.
But all right.
That's been my week.
Wicked, yeah. Hopefully next week I'll have something to talk. We'll see. I'm sure I won't, but we'll see. We shall see. Great. That's it from us. See you next week. Write in your,
questions. Tell us if you liked us recording on Audacity instead. Can you tell the difference?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. You'll just notice that there was no intro.